so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, oh, oh. Wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way.
Maybe then yes, sir. And yes, ma'am, you had better. Wake them up. Get them up. Get them going. It's Friday on B&E. It is a Bud Light Football Friday. Here we go. NFL delivers again last night. My apologies to the National Football League. Kind of anticipated a dud of a Thursday night primetime special. It was anything but. Another fantastic finish in the National Football League to launch week two. We'll dive into Giants football team last night. Also, the weekend of high school, college, and pro football on tap today as we get you ready for the Longhorns and Rice tomorrow, the Cowboys in Los Angeles against the Chargers, and plenty to do over the next 4 hours of fun and conversation right here on the Show of the People. It's going to be a lot of fun. Appreciate you being there. Early bird always gets the worm, and appreciate those who get up early with us each and every morning and go as long as they can on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. You know we're always streaming for you live on the Horn app, on your smart speaker, and at hornfm.com. Mr. Godbold, happy Friday.
Thank you very much, E. Good morning to the soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers in the state of Texas, and of course all those that fight for us each and every day. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We do appreciate it. And it's going to be a great weekend. Great weekend of sports. Just a great weekend in general.
It is. It
Make
certainly
the
is.
Day the very best day for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. And we may have some news coming on a potential live broadcast of ours.
Yeah, they listened to us, as a matter of fact, yesterday. They've been listening to us at a place up in the Fort Hood area.
We are the Killeen area.
Yeah, the Killeen area. We are. CB asked about it yesterday, as a matter of fact, and
Chris Bennett on Twitter.
We are 99.9% that this will happen on October 5th, Tuesday.
To be doing this show live
yes.
from the Fort Hood military complex.
Yes,
excited about that.
Yeah. Oh, are you kidding
excited,
me?
Excited.
You kidding me? They were listening. As I said, they listened to us yesterday. They wanted to see what we were all about. So they tuned in yesterday at Fort Hood.
No.
And they said, bring it.
They really listened?
Bring on the madness.
Did they hear the blitz?
Yeah.
Did they hear the Nick?
I don't think they stayed that late. There's some. They do their PE kind of deal at 6 o'clock. So they got us.
Oh,
they
good.
Got us when we were good.
Oh,
they didn't get us
yeah,
in the 9
you know,
o'clock hour.
Early on, we're all right. And then,
yeah.
then we get into Nick Saban, D's Nuts conversations.
They
the blitz.
Yeah, they probably were doing their real deal about that
D's
time.
Nuts.
So. Thank you very much.
Hey, listen, we have a good time, and that we appreciate them.
Yeah, it's exciting. It really, really is. And there are a number of things to get involved in this, but we are about to get the go today. And then the time and what we have to do and what we should be prepared for and told them what they should be prepared for. So I'm excited. And there's a bunch of people that just got involved right away, including one Mr. Bobby Epstein, Circuit of the Americas, is going to do something really special.
All right.
For people up on the base. So.
All right, we're excited about that.
Should be
that.
Fun. We can't give it away because I don't actually know everything detail. So.
Well, it's coming, though. It's September
it's coming.
The 17th. So October 5th will be here quick.
Yes.
But first things first, let's get to this weekend and certainly the action of last night. Let's start this Friday morning, a Bud Light Football Friday with the headlines, including a great one in the NFL last night. UBO Business Services brings it to you, and we'll start with the NFL. Yeah, another great primetime finish. We kick off week two. Washington backup quarterback Taylor Heinicke threw for 336 yards and two touchdowns. And for the injured Ryan Fitzpatrick, he also led the football team on a late drive that led to a 43-yard game-winning field goal by Dustin Hopkins at the buzzer. WFT wins it 30-29 over the New York Football Giants on Thursday Night Football. Hopkins missed a 48-yard field goal, pushed it wide right with 5 seconds to go. But Giants defensive tackle Dexter Lawrence called for offsides and moved it up 5 yards, and he was able to nail the 43-yard field goal to help Washington improve to 1-1 on the season, their first win of the year. Giants 0-2 for the fifth consecutive season. G-Man had 11 penalties on the night, none more costly than that final one. Full weekend of NFL action on tap tonight, or on Sunday, I should say, including the Texans on the road at Cleveland. The Cowboys are on the road as well. They're in Los Angeles in the late afternoon window Sunday facing the L.A. Chargers, a game you'll hear right here on the Horn with a 3:25 kickoff. High school football last night, another real good game. How about the LBJ Jaguars going on the road, making a statewide statement as the third-ranked Jags took down ninth-ranked Liberty Hill 41-34 in a barn burner. That launches a full slate of high school action tonight. Lake Travis is at San Marcos on 104.9. Vandergriff and Stony Point on 101.9 and AM 1260. We'll start with the pregame at 6:30, the Flex ATX pregame, and, of course, games all over the dial and on our app at Horn at the Horn app. Tomorrow on the Horn, Longhorns back at DKR looking to rebound from their humbling loss at Arkansas last Saturday. They will host the Rice Owls. After practice yesterday, head coach Steve Sarkisian said he's been pleased with the team's week of practice, calling it intense, intentional, and focused on improving in all phases. Of course, earlier in the week on Monday, junior Casey Thompson was announced as the starting quarterback for that game in place of the freshman Hudson Card. Game kicks at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. Double Barrel pregame coverage goes live at 3 o'clock on the Horn, and across the Austin Radio Network will be at Bevo Boulevard and the Texas Tail Garden at 17th and San Jacinto. Baseball, Astros clobbered the Rangers last night 12-1 up in Arlington. They take 3-4 in the final Lone Star Series. Houston's lead in the AL West remains at 7 games with 16 to play, their magic number to clinch the division in the West for the fourth time in 5 years, stands at 10. Round Rock topped OKC 6-5.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
Yeah, good football game last night, Buck. I think I said, maybe ledged down the road, that this would be kind of a dud of a football game with two offensively challenged football teams, but wasn't the case. This one was a barn burner from the jump. Good football game all the way to the end, and the Washington wins it by field goal at the buzzer. Gosh, we've seen last Thursday night, Tampa Bay beat Dallas on a last-second field goal. The Monday night football game was an overtime walk-off, and this one, I mean, the NFL just keeps delivering pretty sensational theater here.
Well, they could deliver it all they want, but I wasn't going to be up in the fourth quarter watching that game.
Oh, I saw
that. That just was not going to happen. So
you were snoozing.
No, there was no way. There's no way at all. So, but you know what? I wanted to see how Saquon Barkley looked. He was going to play in that game. Man, that guy's stud.
He was active, and they're still bringing him along slowly. Only 13 carries.
That's all right
in the game, and they're going to be careful with him. It was surprising he even played just 4 days after they played on Sunday, coming off.
And
that
it was
injury.
Wet there too.
Yeah, a little slick. But in the end, I mean, this was, if you had told me yesterday that the Giants were going to score, because again, I watched the Giants play and lose to the Broncos in Week 1.
Yep.
And gosh, and if you told me after watching that game they were going to score 29 points and they'd only punt one time in the game and Daniel Jones was going to, you know, play as well as he, I mean, surprising to see that. I thought what I saw from Washington was anticipated, you know, but boy, the Giants offense a lot better than I thought. Daniel Jones a lot better than most would have thought.
He had a touchdown run and one called back.
Yeah, he had a long one called back. It was kind of a questionable holding call.
I know. Like. I was like, come on, keep that in your pocket.
Yeah, I mean,
please.
Daniel Jones had like 330 of the 390 total yards the Giants had last night, whether he's throwing or running. That was a great performance on the road, and then probably should have been better. But Taylor Heinicke, Isaiah's guy, the Heineken man.
That guy?
Dude, he was good too. Assertive.
He tried to throw him through some windows, man. He took chances. He wasn't afraid to do it. He threw some tough balls for that one in the right-hand corner for a touchdown. That was a late throw that was still on the money.
To the former Texas A&M star Ricky Seals-Jones.
I'm like, boy, is he going to try to pull this off? And he did for a touchdown.
Well, it's crazy. I mean, the NFL, I mean, you got Taylor Heinicke against Daniel Jones, right? Maybe this is the statement on this game, even whether you watch the whole thing or just parts or none of it. So we've had now two Thursday night games. We've had the Monday night game.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody runs the ball anymore.
No.
Nobody runs the ball. Like, I mean, it has been determined now that throwing the ball in this league is the way to go. Even if you have Taylor Heinicke, a backup quarterback, and
he's
going to
throw it too.
I mean, Taylor Heinicke threw the ball 46 times. They ran the ball 13. I mean, and they won the game. You know, we saw it last week with the Cowboys and Buccaneers. It's they abandon the run and they get their yards through the air. It's a completely a passing league outside of a team like Baltimore. And Lamar Jackson that's going to stick to it and be a ground-and-pound kind of team. It is amazing to watch these teams go up and down the field and put points on the board and just not even worry about running the football.
Yeah, I mean, what Heinicke, when you looked at the running game for the Washington football team, it just didn't look like it was going to go anywhere anyway to me. They were better off to me having that kid. And plus they got weapons, that wide receiver. They got a pretty good wide receiver core with a nice tight end.
Well, Terry McLaurin is their best. He's the young kid out of Ohio State, another Ohio State receiver. He caught 11 balls last night for over 100 yards.
11 balls last night.
They hit the kid McKissick, the running back, out of the backfield quite a bit last night as well. And Logan Thomas, the converted quarterback, who's now playing tight end for them, they go to. I mean, it's It's fun to watch, but you know you think you're going to tune in and see an NFC East battle where they're going to try to protect their quarterbacks and run the ball and play good defense. No, they just get in the shotgun and fling it all over the field. And in the end, Heinicke was up for it for Ron Rivera's team, and they get the victory. And the Giants, their own worst enemy with the 11 penalties and the Dexter Lawrence offsides on the field goal was just crushing for New York in that game. And it looked like New York was going to win the game. If you went to sleep in the fourth quarter, Heinicke made a mistake, threw an interception. After they had taken the lead, and man, on that Ricky Seals-Jones touchdown, he throws a really bad pick, interception. The Giants take the lead, but then could not hold it, and that's the NFL today. It's all passing, great finishes, and I thought a lot of fun last night watching the game.
But, it was a good game for what I saw, for halftime. It was pretty damn good.
Well, and you know, we've talked about being a make or break season for Daniel Jones, and certainly in a primetime event, he acquitted himself very well in the loss. I mean, he rushed for 96 yards. He threw for 249 yards, showing athleticism.
And they're 0-2.
And they're 0-2. They're 0-2 in New York for the fifth year in a row. How about that? That was the Giants.
Yeah, Washington needed that win.
They did. They did. So one-point win for Washington. Cowboys will play on Sunday and looking to keep pace because the Giants are 0-2 now. Philadelphia's got a tough one this week in that division.
I like that as the upset special.
You think they're going to beat the San Francisco 49ers?
Yes, I do. I really do. I think they're going to upset them at home.
I do not, but we'll see. I'm with San Fran. I got to see some more from San Francisco, or excuse me, from Philadelphia before I buy it. But I think, you know, San Fran, one of the more complete teams in the league. On the road for the second straight week. San Francisco, they were in Detroit last week. Now they're coming into Philadelphia ahead of their home opener next week. And Philly coming home. There'll be a raucous crowd there.
Oh, yeah, there will be. That's right. And it'll be a high-scoring game, I believe.
Yeah.
Philadelphia's now got they've opened up their offense a little bit. They finally have receivers, and you know both their tight ends are healthy. Their offensive line is healthy. Their defensive line is what they truly needed was a secondary. And now they've got a couple guys back there that can – you know, prevent balls going over the top. So I'm interested in seeing how the 49ers go back to back on the road.
And then the Cowboys, I should say, by the way, the 49ers will run the ball too. I mean, they're not going to drop back and throw it all the time. There's still a couple of teams in the league that run the football. San Francisco.
Well, for Philadelphia, they count their quarterback runs as runs.
Yeah, Jalen Hurts can run.
Right.
Now, and Miles Sanders, the young running back out of Penn State, is a good player. The 49ers will run the football. Now, the Cowboys on the road, and speaking of crowds, I'm assuming that there'll be more Cowboys fans in L.A. SoFi Stadium on Sunday than there will be Chargers fans. Are there still Chargers fans?
I don't even know.
Because we saw on Monday night, the Raiders fans are still the Raiders fans, right? They'll drive from Oakland.
Sure.
To be a part of the...
To Vegas? Yeah.
They'll be there.
They've been there all week.
But I guess my query, my question is, I'm curious to know, do old San Diego fans drive to the L.A. to see the Chargers in numbers? I'm assuming no, because they're mad that they left.
They're still mad, yeah.
So who goes to Chargers games? Because L.A. fans...
Rams fans.
Go to the Rams game.
Well, the Rams fans will go to the Chargers game.
And I'm sure maybe there's still some old L.A. Raider fans that go to the Raider game in Vegas, because it's in Vegas. Are there really Charger fans, I guess would be my question. And I know there'll be a ton of Cowboy fans there. Of course, they train, you know, training camp out there in Oxnard, and I've done that for a long, long time, so they built up a base, and it's America's team. So Cowboys need a win, but it's going to be tough. Can they stop anybody becomes a question, and they're going to be playing that game without DeMarcus Lawrence and Randy Gregory, their two best pass rushers. And there's talk of Micah Parsons, the rookie, playing some defensive line, trying to create some pass rush, which puts Jalen Smith back on the field at linebacker. I don't know. I'm not optimistic for the Cowboys. On
I sure don't like him down.
That.
I don't like him down being a rusher. I like him coming through gaps instead of out there with a big old tackle and grab a hold of him. But that dude's going to head fake. He's going to do all kinds of stuff, too. He puts a lot of pressure on you when he comes from the outside, especially when he's way out, pointed in. You better have some really great feet as a tackle. But we're talking about the NFL. And if a tackle grabs a hold of a guy that's light as he is, just put a stranglehold on the dude.
Yeah.
But you will have to hold him a couple times.
But you have to be able to generate some pass rush against Justin Herbert. And
with that secondary, yes.
Yeah. I mean, especially with that. I mean, your hope is with your idea is with DeMarcus Lawrence and Randy Gregory, and then even Micah Parsons on blitzes. I mean, you can get pressure and affect the quarterback. I don't know where they're going to get that pressure in this game. Can they, you know, Tom Brady shredded them last Thursday night.
Dude, we'll this see. Is one of those over games where this is going to be high like scoring. It. There's going to be a lot of points scored in this game.
Well, and back to running the ball, you wonder if the Cowboys will try to saddle up Zeke Elliott a little bit and control the ball a little bit. And
they should.
Not getting a shootout. But, you know, as we saw last week with Dak, I mean, you can use your passing game, short passing game, as almost an extended running game, you know, move the chains and we'll see. That game, 3:25 Sunday as part of the NFL. One other NFL note before we get into the Longhorns and the college football weekend. Tom Brady, by the way, Tom Brady, his Buccaneers playing in Atlanta on Sunday. They'll be 2-0.
Yeah, for sure, after watching Atlanta last week.
In a new video featuring Rob Gronkowski and Tom Brady sitting there in sunglasses in the sun, Tom Brady said he thinks he can play till he's 50. Thinks he can play till he's 50.
That dude has nothing else to do. He doesn't want to. Is he Vijay Singh? I just don't want to go home.
He's the GOAT. Well, he's his home. He's, you know, his kids are, wife and kids are right there.
That's true.
Yeah, he goes home every night to Giselle. But he says,
Giselle,
yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah, he said.
Antonio Brown lives in the back. Yeah,
his buddy,
good.
His buddy Tony Brown is there.
Yeah, Tony Brown lives
Bronx
out back.
Over in the back down the street.
Yep.
He's got it all. He's already retired to Florida, but he's still playing. But yeah, Tom Brady suggested, Gronk asked him, said, you said in the past that you think you could play till 45. And Rob said, what do you think? And Tom said, I can play till I'm 50. 50.
How about that?
That's six more years of Tom Brady.
Dude, how long did George Blanda play? He was a kicker and a quarter. I think they're right about the same age, 44, 42. Blanda just looked old with the gray hair.
Yeah, but he played back a long when they were time. Smoking Marlboros on the sidelines.
Absolutely, man. That dude used to puff them down.
Oh, working jobs, odd jobs in the offseason. George Blanda
played for a
played
lot of
26
years.
26 seasons. 26 seasons in the NFL. Played till he was 48.
There you go.
Played till he was 48.
He was the backup quarterback at 48.
Well, you know, it's funny, interesting about Tom Brady saying that is one of those things you hear and you kind of would giggle at, but would it surprise you?
No.
I mean, he looks as good today as he ever has. He looks like he's getting younger.
No, I mean, that wouldn't surprise me.
Year by year. And, you know, it's a good team. He can't touch the quarterbacks. There's the video I'm talking about with Tom Brady in the sunglasses and the floppy hat talking to Gronk, sitting around the pool, the little kiddie pool.
I love the fake flamingos around the plastic flamingos.
Oh, yeah. So he says, I can play till I'm 50. That's what the NFL's got to deal with because, you know, he's pissing everybody off anyhow. Aaron Rodgers is mad. Russell Wilson got mad last offseason. They're all mad.
That's right.
Tom Brady keeps winning these Super Bowls and hogging them.
Now they can't beat him.
Well, now it's Pat Mahomes trying to come for him in Kansas City. And Pat Mahomes has a big game this weekend. They'll play Baltimore Sunday night at Baltimore. That's a fun game. Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes, part of your Sunday slate. All right, NFL, we'll continue to talk. Your thoughts on Washington getting the big win last night. Giants, I thought, were better than anticipated in that game for sure, as far as their offense goes. But college football, Buck, here we go. Longhorns getting ready for the Rice Owls. We're from Steve Sarkisian this morning throughout the course of the program. But Casey Thompson taking the reins and reports he's had a really good week of practice, a lot of energy at practice. He is kind of seizing the opportunity to be the leader of this Texas football team, you know. We heard him earlier in the week talking about how he was stung by the decision, but then kept his head down, and now he gets his opportunity, you know, bringing the energy at practice, trying to be the leader this team needs right now.
I hope so. They're playing against Rice. You know, this should be a game where everybody gets well, everybody gets into the thick of things. I like this team for the next couple games until they get ready to go to Fort Worth, and that's when we'll find out. People are saying, I know the one at a time, but I'm not coaching right now. I'm a fan, so let me go the direction I need to go, and that's – that this group will find out who they truly are in Fort Worth in 2 weeks. They should cruise by this game next week. They got some like athletes, but they should really have found themselves after three games. They'll know what they're all about when they get to league play. And Texas Tech coming here, it won't be like it was before. I think I'm expecting Bijan Robinson to have two massive games, and then we'll find out. But what you still want to see is how are they performing when they get to the field. Who's getting better? Which individuals are getting better? I think we know some of the guys we expect to play well. I expect Bijan. I expect the quarterback. No matter who the quarterback was against Rice, you know they were going to play. They were going to play well. You'll find out a lot also in the Texas Tech game because now you start conference play. But they have to get better every time they take the field. They just have to. I don't think they're going to become any more physical. This all of a sudden is not going to be a road grader bunch on the offensive line. So what is the head coach going to do to shake some of the guys loose? What's the wide receiver coach going to do to get his guys actually involved in the offense and not have a guy with one catch? How about a guy with eight catches in a game? Wouldn't that be amazing here? So we'll see how they do. And they've got a good chance to really get well. You know, they have to.
Yeah, I mean, and as Steve, we'll hear Steve Sarkisian say it. I mean, it's individually.
Pump the brakes, Bucky. Winning is hard. I'm not pumping any brakes against Rice.
Well,
Give me a break.
I will be a little more weary of the Texas Tech game than you are.
No.
Because I've seen this Texas Tech rivalry, and again, it's the last time, I mean, potentially, that they.
Why is these all rivalries? Why are Texas, every time Texas plays somebody, it's a rivalry?
Well, Texas Tech hates Texas, and right vice versa.
Everybody does.
You played there. I know, but this is a it's an in-state rival in Texas Tech, and you know they've had Texas's number at times. Last year's game went to triple overtime or overtime after Texas had a rally from 21 down in the fourth. You know, we saw Cliff Kingsbury save his job in a game here late in the early in the Tom Herman era. Texas Tech will come here to win the game. They're coming in planning to win. Texas,
yeah, they'll be undefeated, by the way.
Yeah, they will. Yeah, they will, and Texas will have a one loss at least. So, yeah, I mean, once you hit conference play, as we've said, or at least my belief, from 2 to 8 and or 2 to 9 in the Big 12, I don't see a lot of difference, and we need to see it on the field. I don't know how much better Texas is than Texas Tech right now.
Yeah, but the two teams that they'll play in conference to start out will be undefeated when they play Texas, most likely.
Yeah, I mean, TCU's got a bye this week, and then they're playing SMU. Ahead of that game in 2 weeks.
Be a tough game, but they probably should beat SMU. They'll be undefeated. And this group right here.
Texas Tech plays FIU this weekend. Florida International, who just
lost. They'll have three wins.
Yeah, they will. They'll be 3-0, and you know they'll come in here with their tortillas, planning to win the game.
Slap the crap out of them with their 3-0 coming here.
Probably should. Probably should. And you're right about Bijan Robinson. You probably should be able to run the football.
Two big games he should have.
You would hope. You would hope. And
yes.
If Casey Thompson is indeed... You know, taking over as a, you know, seizing this opportunity to be the leader of the team, which they need right now. They need some confidence at that position. Not that Hudson just had one bad game. He had one really good game, one bad one. But even in the victory, he's just not a rah-rah guy. This team needs a rah-rah guy right now, I believe. Someone who will insert some energy into what they want to be and you know, their identity. And maybe even some running with his legs.
They need somebody to help this offensive line. That's what they need.
Yes, exactly.
This offensive line is poor.
And be assertive.
Right.
You know, cut and run when you need to.
Yes.
Move the chains. Allow yourself to get in a rhythm offensively, which is something that never developed last week.
Stay out of the third and longs by taking off and running with the ball and getting 6 or 7 yards. That's what you need to do.
Yeah. Uh-oh, this says, Buck, what happened to the Gold Star lock?
That was
terrible.
Gold
Star lock.
You and Zay talked me into that one last night.
I took it. I went BetUS with our guy Barry.
What?
I took Washington -3.
I did too. -4.
I watched both teams on last week, and if you'd have told me they were going to score, the Giants were going to score 30 points, give me a break. I mean, they scored 13 at home against the Broncos.
So we absolutely are now down 5,000 units. I am now.
I'm killing the people right there.
3 wins, 4 losses.
I'm killing my own because I took the Giants.
I got 2 winners for you for the weekend, but yes. I did officially pick that. Did I yesterday? Yes, I did.
Yep.
So did
and
I.
You're going to come in blaming your boy.
I'm not blaming you.
You haven't done it yet, but
it's a long
show.
You and your boy, Heinicke. I mean, keep throwing your picks, Heinicke.
And by the way,
in the key positions, man.
I also have to say this in my own defense, in your own defense. I'm going to stop saying the Washington football team has a great defense until they play some great defense because they don't have a great defense. That's not a good
early.
Own.
Well, not early. No, not early in the season. That was not good yesterday.
No.
No.
That's a bad offensive line in New York. And where's Chase Young effective? Where are these guys? Where are all these number one draft picks?
By the way,
up front?
I didn't see the dude that got his leg turned around backwards. Was it bad? They didn't show it again.
Yeah, they did not.
So we never saw it.
Yeah, it was the
it
guard.
It was bad.
It was the offensive line for the
Giants. Yeah, I had to rewind it because they didn't show it.
You like to watch that stuff, man.
Yes, Anami, man. I love watching stuff like that.
I can't watch that.
Every time Joe Theismann comes on, I watch it. Every single time.
I saw the original hit. But I've never seen it on. I don't like to go back to those tapes and see those backward. Now, Dak's leg turned backwards. I think I saw that because it was an ankle. It wasn't like a knee. It was the ankle.
Yeah, it was Nick Gates, the offensive guard for the Giants in their
second
possession.
That dude was smiling going off. Did they shoot some juice into him immediately?
I don't know if he was grimacing or smiling.
No, he was smiling, waving. That's still got to hurt, right?
Well, so the Giants down their starting guard. We've been very good anyhow. Washington football team Where's this defense? Where's this alleged defense, Ron Rivera, that everybody's so excited about? Not very good last night. Giants went up and down the field on them. All right, so good football there. We've got the Longhorns coming. We'll hear more from Steve Sarkisian, or at least hear from Steve coming up. Also, we'll hear from one of the Longhorn offensive linemen this morning, Jake Majors at center, his thoughts on what went wrong in Arkansas, and can this unit up front get better internally? We'll hear from Jake coming up. We'll hear from Craig Way in a Craig Ray report. It's a Bud Light Football Friday, and we're just getting warmed up on 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260, streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Oh, man, good stuff right there from Isaiah Collier on a Bud Light Football Friday. Talking Texas football, the NFL weekend is underway. Daniel Jones looking like a real live quarterback last night for the New York Giants, but Washington wins 30-29 and a good one. Another barn burner of a finish in the NFL. We've had several of those already on the young season. Steve Sarkisian, Longhorn head coach. See where he was last night, Buck?
I did not.
He was in East Texas. Taking in a high school football game last night. He and his defensive coordinator, Pete Kwiatkowski, were on the sidelines of the Allen Legacy game in East Texas. Tyler Legacy, placing Allen, and looking to do a little recruiting. And Zay, I know you're a fashion dude with the shoes. You see Sark's burnt orange Nikes?
I haven't.
Show them to you. Yeah, he's wearing the burnt orange Ben black Nikes with the burnt orange Nike swoosh.
Yo, with the way his wife be looking all the time, Steve gonna be styling. He has to. It's a must. He ain't gonna let him walk out without him styling.
That's true. He doesn't have a choice, does he?
Hell no. Nah.
Think she picks out his clothes for him?
Okay. Yeah, you see the Longhorn Network commercial with Griff and them?
Really?
Yeah.
She does. Well,
she got his shoes ready for him.
Herb Street, his wife, packs his stuff and puts it together. When you see him on TV, she puts that together for him. He can't do it. So every time I see him, I go, dude, your wife just dressed you. You can't do that. He said, I can't do that myself. She picks up the jacket and the tie and all the matching stuff. Because he looks sharp. So maybe it's better that she picks it out and he doesn't anyway.
By the way, I didn't reveal or tell you that when I was at the Arkansas game in Fayetteville, I got to meet Jeff Banks' wife. She's a lovely lady. She's quite the internet sensation, apparently. But she was at the tailgate. She flew up for the ball game, and she was good to get to know. I found out from her, though, Jeff Banks, the special teams coordinator and tight ends coach.
Yeah.
She has a monkey. She has a pet monkey she was talking about.
Why'd you have to do that?
What do you mean?
Well, that's not even necessary.
She was proud to tell me she's got the group of people that she's got a monkey. She's got a little monkey, a little capuchin monkey.
You mean like Des Bryant's monkey?
Yeah.
She doesn't bring that thing down to the stadium with her. That thing doesn't go to the games, right?
I don't think so. I don't believe so. But, yeah, she has a monkey. She told me the monkey's name, I forget.
She had like a monkey, like on a string. Like.
She wasn't with her. Like she was at the tailgate thing in Fayetteville.
Like one of those monkeys that do with the organ grinder that runs up and gets the money with the cup and then comes back down to the organ grinder.
I didn't see it, but I mean, yeah.
That's a Capuchin monkey.
A little Capuchin monkey. Yeah, she's gotten a monkey now as a pet.
She passed on a cat for a monkey? Does it wear a diaper?
It didn't go this far.
Oh, no, you brought this up. You brought it up. I didn't bring this up. You brought it up. You should ask a lot of questions about that monkey.
Just saying. And she was fun.
Does it make sounds like that at the game?
I'm assuming. Yeah, remember Dez had a monkey that he wanted to keep in the Cowboys?
Yeah, the freaking trainers took care of it when he went out to practice.
Dez Bryant, yeah.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. So.
Okay, that's it. I'm done with that. That's fine.
She also said she almost got in a fight at the first game because some students stole her seats. And she's like, I'm not getting in a fight. I'm the coach's wife. I can't be getting in fights. But those.
No, you can't.
No, you can't. No, she went and the cooler heads prevailed. But
good.
Yeah, but apparently there was a lot of rough stuff at the first game. Hopefully they've got that figured out today or tomorrow.
Well, you said the students like to try to take over the lounge.
Well, you know, behind the scenes at UT, they have a staff shortage like everybody else does. And so, you know, that's not telling secrets out of turn, but they're having, and then they had some folks who didn't show up because of COVID, like they
well, of course,
positives. And so, yeah, they didn't have the staff they normally do for ticket taking and security and all the things that go on at a football game.
Geez.
You got 100,000 people coming.
And they kind of overwhelmed people?
And the students just, yeah, they took over the UT club, apparently. Like the UT club on the east.
The nice club up top?
Yeah, the east side. You know, where the people
go in. Sit-in?
Yeah, you go in there before the game, and you know, got the beautiful buffet of food and the big high-back chairs and everything going on in there, right, watching games.
Nice.
Yeah, like the students, like, bum-rushed the place. Started eating the...
Started eating, putting their hand in a dip. Super spreader style. I mean, like sticking
apparently,
their hand.
I wasn't there, but
great.
I was told that it got a little...
they messed with your shrimp, probably?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Great.
So I think I did see Drew Martin this week, and I think they'll have this under...
People coming to work now?
The hope would be as they play Rice tomorrow night,
great,
their first primetime game. It will be fun to see DeKalb lit up once it gets dark and under the lights. But, yes, I did get to meet her, and, yeah, she has a monkey.
Cool.
Cool.
Yeah.
And Sark was in Tyler with PK watching high school football last night.
He needs to go to Rockwall, spend some time there.
Well, he might. Well, they weren't playing last night, but, you know,
no,
might have stopped by the high school on the way.
I'm pretty sure.
Because that's going east out of Dallas, and that's where we're heading towards Tyler, but probably on a corporate plane or whatever, team plane, whatever they call that. Hey, how about Steve Sarkisian talking Texas football? You know, Steve Sarkisian, he always has a Thursday media availability after the final Thursday practice. And here was a question I think is interesting. You know, will you run the quarterback more with Casey Thompson? People have talked about his ability to get out of the pocket, maybe use his legs. Both quarterbacks, Hudson Card and Casey Thompson, are athletic. And you've talked about Hudson being, you know, wide receiver at Lake Travis. He can certainly run. But it does appear, at least through, you know, his early career, Casey Thompson is more aggressive when he wants to run. He's more assertive when it's time to run and just tucks it and goes. Here's Sark when asked, will you run the QB more with Casey now starting?
Not really. We actually only called one play where he potentially could have pulled it and ran, and he did. The rest of those were off schedule, him tucking the ball down and running. Those weren't designed runs. So that's his style of play. You know, so I think some of that is going to be based off of the way a play goes or the game goes. If he tucks it and runs a little bit more, but you know, our offensive scheme really is going to change as much. You know, we have that in our system. We definitely don't major in it. So it really wasn't much of a difference, you know, when we call runs for the quarterback.
Yeah, when there's a jailbreak, he's going to take off and go. That's just his natural ability. He has really nice timing. When you've watched him over the games that he's been in, whether it's against, you know, in the bowl game or whether it's in against Louisiana, he has that tendency to feel that pocket and know I can get six or seven. I'm not going to take a chance. And, you know, for Sark, there are times when he wants his quarterback to stay, look over the field. But the offensive line and the wide receivers are very similar. People aren't getting to spots and getting that part done. So if the quarterback can get six or seven, go ahead and get six or seven. Don't put yourself behind the chains when you can pick up some yards, because that's a plus for your team. Plus, it makes them feel good, too. You know, you take the pressure off the offensive line. When your quarterback knows when to take off and it's second and three and all that stuff, the offensive line feels pretty good about that. They feel like they've done their job, even though there could have been a jailbreak. When you got a quarterback that can escape, that's good. That's a good thing.
Agreed. And, you know, even through his first two games as a young player, as a redshirt freshman, a lot of times you can see Hudson Card thinking through the game a little bit, right? You know what I mean? He's because you can almost hear his coach in his ear. When he takes off to run,
mm-hmm.
Sark's been preaching to him, keep your eyes up, you know, keep the play alive because
sure.
You can hit a pass down the field. And we saw him do that against Louisiana, right? He would step up in the pocket, but then he would see a Jordan Whittington come clear and he'd rip it to him, get a first down. And I thought he was trying to do that against Arkansas instead of just, as you said, hey, look, just go. Get yourself 4 or 5 yards. Stay ahead of these chains. Let's get some first downs and get some momentum here. But he's kind of thinking through it in real time in the pocket. And then, of course, against Arkansas, you know, his eyes were coming down, and the rush affected him without a doubt.
Yep.
In that football game. And yes, it was garbage time. Yes, it was 33-7 when Casey came in. But when he did come in, he looked confident. He looked assertive.
Yeah,
he looked
coaches love you when you move the team.
Yes.
No matter who you play against. You know, just move the team, and he does move the team. And that's what they're going to see this week. But as I said, against Rice, both these kids could play. And I hope Hudson Carr gets back in there in the second half when it's that time for him, because he got to continue to get better. Because once again, as I say, the way this offensive line plays, and when guys get loose, you're going to need two quarterbacks. You're just going to need two quarterbacks. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, and on that note, can we hear from Sark on, we heard earlier in the week how Casey Thompson handled it when Hudson Card was named the starter. He took one day to let it sting and watch some movies and then showed up and went back to work. Looking forward to this opportunity. Here was Sark yesterday when asked how Hudson Card, the redshirt freshman from Lake Travis, is handling now being the backup.
I think he's handled himself well. Let's be real. I'm sure there's a level of frustration for him. He wants to be the starting quarterback too. But as we've touched on with Casey in the past, and it'll be the same with Hudson. Hudson's going to play Saturday night. And I fully anticipate when we play him that he'll play well. I think Casey's earned this opportunity to become a starter in this ball game. And then we'll really have to reflect, coming out of this game of moving forward, what it's going to look like when we head into Big 12 play.
See, I thought that was a revealing thought at the end there, that after this game, they're going to really drill down on this thing, and they're going to pick a quarterback going into Big 12 play. I think after...
Well, then you're going to end up picking Casey, because Casey's going to start and have a good game against Rice.
Right.
Exactly.
That's
not that hard, Coach. You're not surprised. It's not going to be a surprise to us when you pick Casey against Rice. That's not a surprise.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. We'll hear Coach Sark talking about the Rice House. I just took from that... That okay, and maybe Hudson gets a whole second half or something. Who knows? Maybe Casey gets first half, he gets second, and then the competition continues. But after this week into Texas Tech and conference play, we're going to pick a quarterback. And we've gotten whoever the backup will be, likely at this point Hudson Card, will have had playing time and experience, so they're ready to go if we need them. But in the end, when we begin the games that really count, the Big 12 games, we're going to have one quarterback, and we won't be doing this. But at least that's what I took from that comment from Sark there. We'll have to reflect. And you're right, it's likely to be Casey Thompson if he holds up his end and plays like people think he will and can on Saturday against the Rice Owls. Speaking of the Owls, we'll hear Sark talking about Rice and what challenges they present. They do present some, as he said. We'll hear his thought there. Also, the other conversations with the Texas football coaches. They get ready for the Rice Owls tomorrow. More on the college football weekend as well, the big games around the college football. We'll give you an interesting number. Biggest game of a non-conference matchup is Penn State and Auburn. I'll get you a stat on that. Maybe you didn't know why it's a big game for the Big Ten. Also, Alabama and Florida in the SEC. The other big games around the Big 12. We'll get to all of it. It's B&E on a Bud Light Football Friday. We are just getting warmed up on 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260. And you know we're always streaming for you live on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. Here's Craig Way.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Oh, man, good stuff on a Bud Light Football Friday. Coming up in our next hour, reset those headlines, including a tremendous finish again in the NFL. Boy, three of the four primetime games already in the NFL have gone to the last play. Pretty incredible, including last night. Washington wins it, and they got an extra chance to kick a game-winning field goal because of the Giants penalty. We'll get you details there. Also, back into our coach's corner, more from Steve Sarkisian on the game plan for Rice, also what they're dealing with the Rice Owls.
And more about the monkey.
More about the monkey.
That you brought up.
Well, no, I just...
I truly would... Now I'm jealous. Now I'm pissed.
Why? Because you want a monkey?
Well, I'd rather have that than those two kittens. I mean, can you imagine me walking around this hall with a little Capuchin monkey when I come back from the bathroom and I whistle and a monkey come flying up and jump? Zay would have a blast. I mean, we got like 1,000 dogs here. We got dogs laying around with their balls all on the floor and stuff. Wouldn't you like to have a monkey that would be
balls
fun?
On the floor?
I mean, wouldn't it be cool to have a monkey in this office that you could get to go get paper and stuff for you? You know, like go to the copier. Hey, little monkey, go over to the copy, get me a copy, make me six copies. Dude, a monkey's worth something. A cat is a waste of time. I got two kittens right now. All I do is... And E, you're right. I've never seen two little kittens poop and pee as much as these two little dudes do. It is like, oh my God, I'm in there with that little scooper. I'm like, you're only so big. What are you packing in here? It's awful. I've had to have these things inside the house because they're doing stuff in the shed. But a monkey, I put a little diaper on a monkey. He could poop in the diaper. I change him like a little baby. I want a monkey now. Yeah. I'm done. Well, I'm going to ask her about, why can't we have her on to talk to her about her monkey?
Well, we can effort that. We can effort that.
I'd like to talk to her about, what do you do with a monkey? I mean,
if
you're cooking in the kitchen, can you imagine a monkey sitting up on the counter talking to him? I would talk to that monkey all day long. I talk to the kittens. We all say, "Oh, look, kitty cat." I mean, we do that. I mean, oh God, I would teach that monkey to talk. This would be great.
That's too much.
Can we bring her on, please, and ask her what you do with a monkey?
We will. We will make that happen.
Is a monkey nasty? Do you bring a monkey in the kitchen? Because cats are nasty.
I don't know.
You bring
I've
them
never
in the
had
kitchen.
A monkey, so I don't know. We'll
bring a nasty-ass dog in the kitchen.
We'll get Jeff Banks' lovely wife on, and she will talk about the pet monkey. She was talking about it at the tailgate for the Arkansas game.
Zay, would you be down with a monkey?
She told me the name, and I forgot the name of the monkey. Forgot.
Yeah, I'll be down for a little Curious George running around here.
But I'm pretty certain it's a female. It's a female monkey.
You know that part.
Because she said the name of the monkey, and it was like Gail or...
Christy or something?
Yeah, it was a girl
Christina?
Name. No.
Kelsey?
No, it was like...
Kelsey the monkey?
It was one syllable. It was like... I forget. Bad memory. Bad memory this morning on that. But that was way back on Saturday. We're getting ready for this week's game, and I will get you detail. I'll make that happen. Let's get Longhorns win over Rice. Gia. How'd you know that? How do you know that? Yeah, that is true. A texter said the name of the monkey is Gia, and that is accurate. That is accurate.
She's talked about this monkey, obviously.
I'm sure she has. Well, she was a whole group of people at the tailgate that she was talking about. And she has a monkey named Gia. Gia the monkey. Thank you. I knew it was one syllable, real short.
Cool.
I said Gail. That's Oprah's friend, Gail.
Watch that. You're back to sensitivity training again.
For what?
For us. We all have to go back. We don't want to go back to sensitivity training. We're not down all that.
Because I got the name wrong?
Marcel
the monkey. Hey, so I gave a little tease on a stat. You know, the big games of the college football weekend mañana include Auburn and Penn State, which is a big game. For the Big Ten, SEC. This is Auburn is seen as kind of a fourth or fifth team in the SEC West, maybe third or fourth. Who knows where they wind up? But they're ranked 22nd with Bo Nix. Penn State's ranked 10th in the country. And coming off of last week's loss by Ohio State, right, the top of the Big Ten, they got beat at home by Oregon. This is a kind of a statement game for the perception of the Big 12 in my mind. And here's the number. Auburn and Penn State will be the 11th SEC versus Big Ten regular season matchup between both when both teams are ranked, right? So the SEC matching up with the Big Ten, both teams in the top 25. SEC teams were 8-1-1 in the previous 10. 8-1-1. Obviously, that
looks like a fast team in Auburn right now. They haven't played anybody, but they look fast.
Well, they'll have SEC athletes. They'll be able to go. Bo Nix is an experienced quarterback. He's been starting since he's a freshman. We had an Auburn fan who texted when we mentioned this game earlier in the week, who pointed out the road to home stats for Bo Nix. At home, he's a totally different quarterback. On the road, he kind of falls apart.
Okay,
but we'll see. I mean, that's 10 games in, 8-1-1 SEC in the regular season. We'll see. I mean,
I just got a picture of her monkey.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Good Lord, social media, y'all. It is the downfall of society. It is just like that. I got a picture of her monkey driving a car.
Well,
wheel. Hell?
It's a pretty monkey. That's Gia.
No, that monkey is huge. That I thought it was like a little spot. That monkey right there will grab you by the what?
You're fascinated by the monkey.
Right? I would be scared of that monkey. That's not like a little spider monkey. That's a monkey that can get a whole handful of D's. I don't want that monkey. I want a smaller one. I want a baby monkey. That's not a baby. That monkey has teeth right there.
Is it driving the car?
It's driving her car.
Yeah, monkey sounds fun and all when he's throwing feces at you with a Nolan Ryan fastball.
Really? They'll do that?
Yes, they throw feces for fun.
Time out.
Just for fun?
Time out. She's not going to come on the show if you guys are talking bad about her pet monkey.
We're not
talking
about her monkey. She probably
monkeys in general.
Look at this monkey. It has a diaper on it. It's got pantalones. It's a female. He's wearing pantalones. This is great. Bring her on. I know it's game day. I'm sorry. Bring the bring the monkey on. Let's have her in studio with the monkey.
Is that allowed?
The pantalones.
Is that allowed? Does that?
No, they got to be vaccinated.
Are there building restrictions?
Got to be vaccinated. Monkey's got to be vaccinated.
Abbott shots.
Gosh.
Oh, man. Show's off the rails on a Friday, and it's only 6:56.
It's early.
Where are we going? We are going to reset your headlines. We'll get into our coach's corner next hour. And, yeah, more monkey chatter, but more football chatter, too. It's B&E. Appreciate you being there on this Friday morning, getting you into your weekend, live, local, and digital on the Horn app, on your smart speaker, and at hornfm.com.